From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today we're going to hear about the case of a 19-year-old from Central Illinois who's been charged with inciting a riot. It came as part of protests over the killing of George Floyd this summer. We're also going to talk about Christmas trees. Illinois is a leading producer, but more and more Americans are opting for fake plastic trees, and the industry is suffering. But first, problem solving in the Illinois prisons. If you're locked up and have a complaint, you're supposed to file what's called a grievance to get it resolved. But my guests today say the system is faltering. Shannon Heffernan is a criminal justice reporter at public radio station WBEZ in Chicago and part of the ProPublica local reporting network. We've already talked with her earlier this year about the State Department of Corrections' One Good Eye policy, which denied vision care to inmates if they had at least one good eye, and her oral history of the first wave of COVID in the Cook County Jail. Her latest story is called The Way Prisoners Flag Guard Abuse, Inadequate Health Care, and Unsanitary Conditions is Broken. Shannon, welcome back to The 21st.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Also with us is Jenny Vollen-Katz. She's executive director of the John Howard Association of Illinois, an independent prison monitoring organization that goes inside correctional facilities to observe conditions there. Jenny, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Shannon, I want to begin with you with sort of a baseline here. What is a grievance? How does that work?
So a grievance is a form that a prisoner can fill out to basically say they have a complaint, something that's not working for them inside the Department of Corrections. And those can range to, you know, when you moved me to a new cell, you broke my radio and I need it replaced, to I've experienced serious abuse from a guard and somebody needs to look into this, or I'm not getting health care that I need, and my life is in danger because of that lack of health care. So the whole range of types of complaints you can have go through this prison grievance system. When a prisoner files a grievance, a counselor looks at it, they try to resolve it. If they can't, it goes to a grievance officer who makes a recommendation to the warden, who approves or denies it, and then a prisoner can appeal if they would like to a statewide board. But it's all under the control of the Department of Corrections.
Jenny Vollen-Katz, I wonder from your perspective, what should the grievance be doing, right? And maybe we can hold off for now on how it actually works or doesn't work in practice. But at its best, I mean, this is, as Shannon's story reported, this goes back or link this back to the prison uprisings of the early 1970s. I mean, this is supposed to be a safety valve of sorts, right?
That's exactly right. And I think the two things that should be happening, and one of which Shannon just touched on, is there needs to be some opportunity for people who are incarcerated to be heard outside the system, for it not to be the same system that they have a grievance with or about being the only response opportunity for people to get. So in other words, the whole thing is one closed circle without meaningful opportunity for review by an independent or neutral party. So I think that that's one of the biggest problems we see here. A grievance system, in essence, should be providing procedural justice, and it's not. And that's, you know, not all of the grievances, even in a functional grievance system, can be, you know, totally addressed to somebody's satisfaction or can be remedied the way people ask for or hope for. But what it does do is give people a voice and an opportunity to seek a remedy in a way that has some procedural fairness around the process.
Shannon, what is the cost to the system for ignoring grievances or not adequately, at least not adequately addressing grievances from inmates?
Well, I think you can view cost in two ways. There is a financial cost, which is if these grievances aren't resolved, a person in prison can file a lawsuit. And when we look into our analysis, the state has spent millions settling lawsuits of people who originally tried to get their problem fixed through the grievance system. Now, settlements for somebody who's in prison tend to be smaller. So even though there are a lot of lawsuits moving to the system, those costs do tend to be smaller. But then there's just the human cost, right? So we covered stories of people who, because their grievance wasn't addressed in a timely fashion, suffered serious injury or medical harm. And I think that that's something you need to weigh in that. What are just the human cost?
Well, let's talk about some of those then, because you, and I should remind listeners that this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Shannon Heffernan, who's a criminal justice reporter at WBEZ in Chicago and part of the ProPublica Local Reporting Network, and also Jenny Vollenkatz, who's executive director of the John Howard Association of Illinois, which is a prison monitoring group. If you want to join our conversation, if you have questions for our guests, the number to call is 800-222-9455. If you have a perspective, especially on the prison grievance process, how Illinois inmates' problems are being handled by the system, or rather not being handled, as we're about to hear, give us a call, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. So, Shannon, early in your story, you talk about, this one really jumped out at me, a prisoner in Joliet who had roaches crawling over him while he slept. And that was right. A harbinger of something much worse, right?
Right. So he filed grievances basically saying, look, my cell is infested with roaches. They're crawling all over me when I sleep. I need this problem to be fixed. And nothing happened. He also wrote letters saying, shortly after that, saying, I'm also having trouble with my ears. I'm hearing crackling in my ears. Something's not right. Continues to try to get help. And then eventually he does get to the healthcare unit, and the healthcare workers retrieve a roach that had burrowed itself inside his ear.
Oh,
and then he went on to file a lawsuit saying he suffered hearing loss and pain because of that. And I think one reason that example is important is you'll hear a response from the Illinois Department of Corrections saying a lot of the grievances that are filed are frivolous. And I can imagine that this would be the sort of thing that, you know, hey, you have a roach in your cell. That's not a really serious issue. But I think it illustrates what happens when we don't pay attention to those issues that people on the outside may not take seriously. I mean, this is your entire life. This is where you live. This is where you exist 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and how those issues can escalate if they're not properly addressed to result in something, you know, that's quite horrific.
Yeah, and you had another example from Stateville, if I remember correctly, about a man complaining about some bolts sticking out near his bed, which, as you said, I think this is something that a lot of people would hear about that and they think, well, just okay, turn your body around, sleep the other way, watch out for the bolts, you know. But what happened in that case?
So his bunk bed was improperly installed, according to his complaint, and there was a long bolt sticking out of the wall. And he wrote a grievance basically being like, me and my cellmate, we keep scratching ourselves on this bolt. It's in a really inconvenient location. Can you please fix it? And months go by without this getting fixed. And then eventually this person alleges they fell out of their bunk bed and punctured their eye on the bolt, resulting in a permanent disability and disfigurement. And that lawsuit also settled, though the state admitted no wrongdoing.
Yeah, $70,000, which
$70,000.
Yeah, like you say, not necessarily a lot compared to what I think somebody might get in a, you know, wrongful injury lawsuit if they were not an inmate, but it adds up over time.
Yes.
Jenny Vollenkatz, I wonder, as someone who yourself and other members of your organization have heard from hundreds, or I guess I should probably even say thousands of Illinois prisoners, do these stories sound familiar to you?
Unfortunately, Brian, they absolutely do. And in reading Shannon's article, you know, several of these are people we'd heard from over the years, or stories we'd heard. And we reach out to the prisons and make note of them. And obviously, the outcomes weren't what we advocated for or what we would have hoped to have seen, you know, in response to raising these kinds of issues with administrators. And I think it points to, you know, one of the really big problems we have, which is without a functional grievance system, it's really hard to get accountability. And, you know, that really plays into the point Shannon made about the human cost of all of this, that when these complaints stay within a system that isn't listening to the people who are filing them, you know, we find ourselves in this kind of devolving situation where there's pain and suffering and cost at both the human and financial levels.
What, Shannon, now let's now turn to another example that you cite in your story. This incident, or I guess I should say alleged incident, since the department denies it happened in the way it's reported, but in 2011 at Lincoln Correctional Center, which is a women's prison, a group of women were marched into a gymnasium and searched. Can you talk about that?
Right. So I think it's pretty established that a strip search, a mass strip search, did happen. Where there's disagreement is how it happened. So multiple women who were at this facility say that correctional officers made derogatory comments about their bodies, made comments about how they smelled while they were strip searching them. And they were forced to remove their tampons during the strip search and then not given proper menstrual supplies to deal with it afterwards. They were just left to bleed on themselves while other women were searched. This is what the women who filed a lawsuit allege. But the reason we looked into this incident is because dozens of women said they filed grievances and nothing happened. They essentially disappeared. And I will let Jenny Volenkat speak to this, but the JHA went and did an investigation, looked into this, asked the department about it, and they couldn't locate a single grievance related to the incident. So that points to a issue that we heard about over and over again, which is that grievances disappear. And grievances are kept on paper currently. The department says it's moving to an electronic system that will make them easier to track. But right now, because every aspect of that system is under the control of the Department of Corrections, there's not like an outside way to track where they are, to track what happens to them. A guard could, if they desired, easily make something no longer be there. And I should say that the department denies that, as you mentioned, that the incident happened how the women claim.
Yeah, and you even quote the former Logan warden saying that grievances routinely disappeared, right? It happened a lot, she said.
Yes, we heard this from prison administrators, too. This is not just something we heard from people who are locked inside.
Well, Jenny, your name was used in debate there. Can you give your perspective on what happened there? Yeah.
No, I mean, I think, Shannon's version of the events really gels with what we heard at the time and what we reported on, there were certain differentials in exactly how things happened, but that it did happen is indisputed. It was at about that time, there were unfortunately a lot of different things like that happening, pointing to some of the treatment women were receiving inside the women's facilities that were particularly traumatic, and were not only traumatic in and of themselves, but also re-traumatizing of things that had happened to a lot of the women prior to being incarcerated. And it was really setting off a lot of different issues inside the facilities, and we were hearing from a lot of people. And occasionally people will send us a copy of their grievance as a way, to keep it safe for them, quite frankly, as a way of saying they're going to say that my grievance, that I never filed it, and here's my proof that I did. Unfortunately, we're not really able to act as document storage. But the fact that people feel that that's necessary, I think, is indicative that what those administrators reported, what Shannon described, is absolutely what's happening. The other thing I would note is not only is the grievance system a paper-based system, a few years ago they changed the system. It used to be that it was a triplicate form. So sort of going back a long time when you used to use carbon paper to make copies of things, that's what a grievance form was. So there was a triplicate. And that meant that the person who was filing the grievance already had an automatic copy of the form they filled out and submitted. In order to conserve paper and expense, the department did away with those forms. And I think the idea, to be fair, was that they'd be moving to an electronic system faster than, was the reality. But in the meantime, it meant that there's only one copy. So people don't have the evidence that they had at one point had to show, what it was they complained about and when it was they filed the initial grievance. And that's really been a problem and set people back and led to increased problems in terms of getting issues resolved and having people feel that they're being heard and have their issues.
Go ahead, Shannon.
One thing that's essential to understand here is the grievance system isn't only about the grievance system. In order to file a lawsuit, you need to have exhausted the grievance system. That for prisoners, you cannot file a lawsuit unless you've done that. So if the prison can claim that you never filed a grievance, that essentially can shut your door to filing a federal lawsuit. So it's really important that people have a way to track those grievances.
Well, we are almost out of time. I guess one of the other things you talk about is a lack of transparency. But I mean, is there any sort of easy fix here, or does Illinois really need to just completely overhaul this system? And very briefly.
Well, I would say there's no one easy fix, but there are things that can be done that other states are doing that would make our system much more effective, much more transparent. It would increase the accountability. Part of it starts with having, you know, an outside entity reviewing the grievances and in charge of the grievance system. If you look at states like Washington and New Jersey, they have very active, robust, funded offices of correctional ombudsmen. This allows somebody to investigate. They are, you know, authorized and empowered to take action, to look into things, to investigate and produce reports and make recommendations for change. Those yeah. systems experience much greater success in terms of resolving issues inside their prisons. And
we're gonna have to leave it there. I want to thank Jenny Volenkatz is executive director of the John Howard Association of Illinois. We've also been speaking with Shannon Heffernan, criminal justice reporter at WBEZ. Her story for the ProPublica Local Reporting Network and BEZ is called "The Way Prisoners Flag Guard Abuse, Inadequate Healthcare, and Unsanitary Conditions Is Broken." Shannon, Jenny, thank you so much for being on with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More to come after a short break. This is The 21st. Stay with us.